Listen to a podcast from Spring Church in West Valley, Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and video content, visit springchurch.org. Tell me what hungry you are. Yeah, we've fasted food last week. And I'm sure some of you are hungry, and we're doing a 2020 asking. We're asking for God for breakthrough as we fast for the first 21 days. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We have a theme scripture like we do. We like to read it together. And then we'll pray. 1 Thessalonians 1, 23 through 24. This is the New Living Translation. Here we go. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. We do want to thank you, Father, that you are a very, very faithful God. And you have us on a journey of becoming more like Jesus, more holy. So for this 3 weeks and today, we commit ourselves to you to really focus. And we thank you for everyone here. Bless them, strengthen them, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for standing and reading the scripture. You know, fasting isn't really talked a lot, and it's talked about a lot in a lot of churches. It's not very attractive or not appealing. And one of the reasons I think that it's not spoken of a lot is because we don't really understand there's an actual battle going on for the lives of people, and we want to make it very temporal. We want to make it very here. So we think, well, or incompatibility, or their rebellion. And one reason that we don't really understand that is because we don't realize that the fight that we have is not against flesh and blood. It's rather spiritual. We have a lot of scriptures today. So, and the scripture we have for that is Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand, here we go, against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Did you know that the devil has schemes? He knows it works on you, he knows it works on me. And he tried this on Jesus. And so we see in Luke chapter 4, right, when Jesus is about to embark on his ministry, this is the scripture we talked about last week, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And so he comes to this place, he's about to enter the ministry, he's led out by the Spirit of the wilderness, and this is what I've never gotten until recently. He started being tempted before he fasted. And so when the temptation came, his answer, right, was, so he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of 40 days of not eating anything, he was hungry. And so the devil comes to him with temptation number one. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. He appears to his flesh, his humanity. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And so the devil came to tempt Jesus after 4 days. He was hungry, of course. And so to overcome temptation, it says Jesus fasted. And one of the best weapons to our warfare that you have during a time of temptation or struggle is the fast. And so Jesus knew the schemes of the devil. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man or human. And he knew that his human part of him needed fasting to overcome or withstand the temptation. And so last week we fasted food, some of us joined us there, different types. And like Jesus, many of you probably got hungry. And so the temptation was, well, here's bread. You probably were tempted all the time with certain things. You watch certain commercials, and you're like, I want some of that. The temptation, and Jesus said this, when he offered him temptation for his body, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. So in other words, we eat this food that it's just temporal. That's not the thing that lasts forever. What lasts forever is the Word of God and my connection with the Father in that way. Fasting food is letting your physical body know that we will not be controlled by the flesh, that our Spirit will control us. God's Word controls us. But today we're going to talk about the second temptation, starting in verse 5. First one didn't work. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, I will give you all the authority and splendor it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered the scripture again. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Second temptation, I don't know exactly how it happened, but Satan takes him up to this very high place, and in a moment, in a flash of a moment, he shows him all the kingdoms, all the lands, all the peoples of the world, and says, if you will bow down and worship me, they can be yours. And the second temptation had to do with the lust of the eyes. And we know from 1 John, this is what we read last week, that there are three basic categories that every temptation comes into. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them, for everything in the world. And here they are, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And I like the way the New Living Translation puts it, talking about these three categories of where the enemy tries to come in and tempt us. It says, the world offers only a craving for the physical pleasure. And we talked about that, temptation one, the food, the strength. Last week we tempted, we fasted food to tell our physical body that our spirit body is in control. The second one is a craving for everything we see. And then the third one is a pride in our achievements and possessions. So what we've decided to do at Streams overcome these 3 weeks is to help us overcome these three pathways of temptation. And I believe in for a breakthrough this year in many of the areas that have kept you under its control for too long. And it's out there that your body and your soul and your mind and your emotions will be brought into the alignment of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So as a leadership group, we're asking you to join us in some way every week for a special time of fasting. And this is what we determined to do to overcome these things. The food fast was January 6th to the 12th, and the media fast is starting tomorrow because my grandkids are still here and I want to watch movies tonight. That's why. And the media fast starting tomorrow, and that's going to help us overcome the craving for the things we see. And then finally, we're going to do an excess or abundant fast the last week. We'll talk about that next week. Today, we're going to start a fast on media to let my mind know that God's Word will be my guide, to let my eyes know that the Holy Spirit is in control. And so you may ask yourself, why media and why the eyes? Well, I'm going to answer the second part. The eyes, Scripture tells us that the eyes are the lamp of the soul. Matthew chapter 6, excuse me, starting at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The simple scripture is saying if your eyes are the lamp of your soul, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And here is the worst part of that. But if the darkness that you think you see, if you think is light, you're in great deception. That's the worst part of it. If you think I'm seeing light, but it's darkness, it's deception. The New Living Translation says this, your eyes are a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is full of darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. We live in a culture today where many people believe the deception that they believe in is actually light, and it's not. When I was growing up in Sunday school, we sang a little song. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Anybody know that song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful of lives that you see how you're giving them a time, okay? And then we went to ears, what you hear, you know, and then we went to your mouth, what you speak. I just had this epiphany when I was writing this. I think the writer of that song actually went to Japan to be a missionary, and he went to Nikko, he saw the three monkeys sort of doing this thing, right? And he goes, we got to have a, no? First inversion of that, don't speak evil, don't see evil, that it knows. But what's first service? And I thought after the fact that this is a heavy song, you know what? Like it's this passive aggressive thing, like God sees everything you do in love, God knows everything you think in love. And so I get this passive aggressive thing, oh God. Because it did scare us when he's saying that, like, oh my gosh, he's just looking down. See, the eyes, we're trying to protect children because the eyes are the lamp of the soul. And so in Luke chapter 4, it says that the devil took Jesus on a very high point. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And he said this, if you will, bow down. In a moment's time. And Jesus saw with his eyes all the kingdom of the world. I can't even imagine the imagery. I can't imagine how it happened in a moment. Hollywood hadn't been created yet. But somehow the graphics were there. Jesus could see it all, every man, every woman, every child, and they were there right before his eyes. And the temptation was great. You could have it all, and you get to skip dying on the cross. See, Satan knew that Jesus had come to save the kingdoms of the world. And so the invitation was this, win back the earth without going to the cross. That's the lust of the eyes. The craving for the things you see. You can have it all, and you can have it now. And simply put, the lust of the eyes is the desire to possess what we see that are unhealthy for us, and not beneficial to our health, whether that's physical or emotional or spiritual. And Satan uses the lust of the eyes as an avenue of temptation. And that's part of the reason that Eve listened to the serpent in the garden. The Bible says that she looked at the forbidden fruit and saw that it was pleasant to the eye. And the Ten Commandments addresses this in its prohibition against a coveting. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 says, do not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. So the eyes are the lamp of the soul. It's a pathway of temptation. And then the second thing is maybe you're asking, well, then why are we fasting media? And I'm going to say, do you really want to ask that question? You really want to know why you're fasting media? I was reading articles, of course, they're out there everywhere, but a couple, one of them I ran across this guy. What's that called? Parenting Television Council. And they have some statistics. It's a nonpartisan education organization advocating responsible entertainment. And so they said this on the website. The average 8-year-old spends 8 hours a day on media, and teenagers more than 11. In 2017, a New York Times study, teens and adults check their smartphones at least 150 times per day, and they text at least 110 times per day. So 13 to 17-year-olds spend an average of 3,300 texts per month. I'm going to go back and count mine, so I don't know. And most parents have only seen a little bit of their text, right? 72% of children say they have been cyberbullied. More than 58% of teens ages 14 to 17 report that they've been to a pornographic site. And I pray for parents today. My daughters are sort of older millennials. Can I say that? Is it all put in that category? And I was talking to my youngest daughter today, and she said, they say that my generation right now, we're the actual, the last childhood who remembers their childhood without a cell phone or social media. But that those days are over. It's a new reality. And there's so much good technology, and I'm connected with people around the world who pray for me, and I pray for them. It's exciting. But depravity can be found anywhere, anytime, by anyone. If you don't believe me, I'm going to say it quickly. 2 Timothy 2, let's read that. And I need some help, okay? Let me find it first. Okay, there we go. Verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. And let the church say amen. Amen. Boastful, proud, abusive. See, you guys don't get it, right? You're supposed to have me on. I'm trying to build this thing. Every time you shout amen back to me, okay? No, you don't have to do that. Amen. Amen. Disobedient to their parents. Amen. That's right. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of God, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, which has had nothing to do with these people. And all these you can see in one season of a TV show. That it will be there these days. Yeah. So Paul gives Timothy advice on how to overcome it in verse 14. But as for you, and Timothy was a young man compared to Paul, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. And how from infancy, when you were a little child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be fully equipped for every good work. In the last days, there's going to be continuing depravity that's going to permeate and it's going to escalate in every part of the society. But there's hope. This is what Paul's saying. There's hope. And that is the Word of God. And Jesus combated Satan every time with Scripture. And that's why we believe that you being a healthy part of Satan's church. I love what he said. You have known this from people you know. You've learned things from people you know. There is a relational connection in life with people. And in that moment, he was taught things. Scripture. People were discipling him. And then he knew it from infancy. So that's why it's important to have your kids in church here. I was listening. I didn't get the opportunity to do this, but it was so much fun at the dinner table listening to my 4-year-old granddaughter learning this week's memory verse. Because in Japan, churches are small and really far apart. Not every church has a children's program. So she was really excited, and she was repeating it. I can do all things through God, right? With God. I can do all things with God. And they didn't have to get perfect. They just try to make a good attempt. So she was so excited because if she got it right, she gets to get a toy out of treasure chest. And I thought to myself, how can I work that into big church, right? What can we do to help you remember what I spoke about last week? I mean, I don't know. I don't need a church. I don't need that kind of money. But we, how about a free cookie? But you got to know something when you're out there. All right, man. Jesus, okay, have a cookie. Right? The Bible, yeah, go have a cookie. I want to thank all the teachers that teach in our children's church. It's very, very important. And if you don't know, we are presently actively pursuing a full-time children's family life pastor because we just think it's so important for where our future is, the investment we make for our future. We're excited about that. We have a new building. That all the weather and things, but we think Mike, hopefully, will be done. And it's going to be fantastic, and a Christian daycare. And we're going to have children be able to use it all the rest of the time. We own it, and we're leasing it out. And the daycare is going to cover almost all the cost of the extra that we're putting in that. So we're excited about that. Thank you guys for giving, too, by the way. The world blasts its message to media to us. And it's on a full attack. It's on a full attack. But we have an answer. And Romans 12, 1-2 says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Here we go. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In order to hear clearly, to know surely, you need to turn out the noise of this world. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through worship, through the scriptures, through quiet times with God. So this next week will be a week that we expect to hear clarity. And my goal for you is to shut off all the confusion of this world so that you will learn to hear the voice and the will of God for this year. But it won't happen unless you dedicate seasons of time when everything gets shut off and you speak His voice. So this week, I'm turning it all off. I only choose to subject my mind to healthy input. I listen to sermons or a biblically-based podcast. I listen to worship. I seek answers that seem hard to find. I will continue to use whatever media is needed for business or personal or email or with my family connecting, but not Facebook or Instagram. And that's all I know because I'm old. I don't know the other apps or whatever they are. You know what they are. And I don't. We're going to turn off the TV. I use the internet for work, but not for pleasure. And this week I'm going to spend my time in prayer. I'm going to tell you about the future soon. And I'll pray for you. And it's important. When it comes to prayer, there are things we have what we call prayer axioms of prayer, things that we believe. And I want to show them to you. The first one, which is the most important, and I'll set it up here. We pray in a way as though God is actually listening. Have you ever heard people pray? And you're like, do you even believe that He's listening to you right now? They pray flowery prayers sometimes. They're very impressive. And they use big King James words, you know, that I don't know. And they're very flowery. And it seems like they want to be impressive or whatever it is. I've heard people pray in a condemning way. Like, I had a boss once, a pastor once I was working for him. And we'd have these meetings, and I would have this article highlighted on my desk, and then we'd have prayer time. I'd walk into it, and I'd say, is he trying to say something to me? And then we'd go to prayer, and he'd go, Lord, please help Lord to understand that I don't like it when whatever it is, that I'm exaggerating over there. And afterwards, I'm like, are you trying to say something? No. And then we'd pray the next time. When I was too young, I was a part of the denomination, and they put me in charge of 10 churches. Probably some of you have heard this story. So I was the overseer of these 10 churches in this area. But I was the youngest guy, and I was given the biggest church. So our first meeting all together, we're having a little dinner or whatever, and all these pastors said, we want to pray for you. So they gathered around me, and the guy started off the prayer this way. Lord, please help us to forget that Lloyd is the youngest person in the room. And Lord, help us forget that He's got the biggest church. And that was His prayer. I've heard people pray all the time. Different ways. But we pray extremes because we know that God listens to our prayer. And He wants to hear from it. So that's the way we approach it. So when we believe that, right? Therefore, we talk to God like He's our best friend. Right? We ask of God like He's a good father. We wait on God because His answer is always perfect. These are the things that we believe about prayer. His answer is always perfect. So this week we are declaring to our mind and to our eyes that Holy Spirit and the Bible shape my worldview. The Holy Spirit and the Bible control my thinking. And they direct my decision making. So on your commute, listen to worship. Pray for the person that cuts you off. Families, get home, turn off the TV, and play a fun board game. We played a board game last week with the grandkids. At Christmas Day, I'm not telling a story. Before Christmas Day, I took the grandkids out, and I said, 1, 6, 1, 4. I said, you can buy, I'll pay for it, but buy something for your dad and mom for Christmas. So they went to the game section, because they wanted to get a family game. So they were walking out of the game, and they see Mousetrap. And Mousetrap's cool. Like, I remember, like, yeah, we'll get Mousetrap. What I didn't realize, we started playing the game. They never play a game where, I can take things from you. And you can take things from me. So if you remember Mousetrap, you started gathering cheese wedges. And so my grandson, his sister, was starting to win. And so his dad landed on a space where you get to take a cheese wedge. So he turns to him and said, I'm going to take a cheese wedge from you. And all of a sudden he starts, tears are starting to come down. He didn't want to give up his cheese wedge. And my 4-year-old boy daughter goes, it's okay, JJ, give it to me. I'll give it to him. He became the mediator. So don't play a board game and get you in a fight, right? Play a fun board game at home. The fight for noise is a family to connect without the TV on. I think it's important. Talk to your spouse. Read your Bible. Be quiet. Listen. I'm convinced if you do that, God will speak to you, and his answers are always perfect, and you will know what it is. You'll know the truth. So that's my prayer. Can we pray together and dedicate this week as the worship team's going to come forward and lead us? Would you stand with me? Let's dedicate this time. If this seems like a big step, you then find something to take the first step. Father, we dedicate this week to hearing your voice, to get the distractions out of our minds, to slow down the world that just is so pressing, and to get time with you where we can be just in your presence to worship you, to tell you you're worthy, and to feel your love that overwhelms us. And we know in those moments that we do that, it will change us. It will really radically change us. And we know that you'll speak. And I think you're already speaking, God, but sometimes it just gets so noisy, I don't hear very well. So remove the noise this week, we pray. We dedicate this week to you. We pray these prayers in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This has been a podcast from Spring Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit springchurch.org.